looking at Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, where Jesus declares, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Now, what's interesting about this verse is that this is the first time that the word peace is used in the New Testament. So that the first time that we come across the word peace is right here in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus declares, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." And I believe it's a very important mention of the word peace. When you look at the actual Greek word, it has the idea of one who, having received the peace of God in his own heart, brings peace to others. So it has the idea of one who makes peace, one who creates peace, if you will. It's not simply one who makes peace between two parties, though I think that definitely is involved once a person makes peace with God. But the primary idea is someone who spreads the good news of peace of God, which that first person has first experienced. Now listen to what Henry Morris says about this idea of being a peacemaker. He says, "How can one be a peacemaker? Note that Christ did not say, 'Blessed are the pacifists.' There are many today who talk about peace, but how does one make peace?" He says the answer lies in the example of Christ Himself. He is the Prince of Peace, and He made peace through the blood of His cross by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. There He's quoting Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, where it speaks of Jesus making peace through the blood of His cross. He says the real problem is that there can be no lasting peace between man and man as long as there is enmity between man and God. Romans 5:1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And then he quotes 2 Corinthians 5:18, "And all things are of God, who reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ." He goes on to say, with that problem settled, we are now in a position to become true peacemakers. For we also can lead others to God through Jesus Christ. He hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself." Here he's quoting 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 20. "To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." And as we study this topic this morning, quite simply, I would submit to you, you must be a peacemaker. You must be one of these people which Jesus speaks of who makes peace. What Jesus is saying is that people who make peace, you notice the second part of the verse declares, "For they shall be called the children of God." The idea here is that those who have peace and who share peace are showing the character of their Heavenly Father. We are peacemakers because we are children of God once we've accepted His gift of salvation. Five times in the New Testament, this phrase is used, "God of peace." We certainly know that God is a God of peace. Just let me give you a couple of the instances. Romans 16:20 says, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." 1 Thessalonians 5:23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Then in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." So, many times throughout the New Testament, God is referred to as the God of peace. So it stands to reason that if we indeed are the children of God, then we will exhibit peacefulness. We will exhibit the qualities of peace because God is a God of peace. So this morning, you ought to be a peacemaker. And now this morning, as I was thinking about how I would present the idea of being a peacemaker, I really thought, what does it involve for someone to want to carry peace to someone else? And what all does it involve for someone to bring peace to someone else? And I've divided it into three parts this morning. And I want you to think about these this morning as we discuss being a peacemaker. The first one that I want you to understand is that if we are to be peacemakers, then that call to bring peace to others is certainly a call to care. It's a call to care about others. The first step to being a peacemaker is to care about those people who need peace. You need to see people in their need of peace. Peacemaking involves caring. And as you're going to see throughout this morning's message, the ultimate example of a peacemaker is Jesus Christ. And He exhibits all the qualities that we need in order to be a peacemaker. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 and 36, listen to how it describes Jesus and how He viewed the multitudes that were there. Verse 35 of Matthew chapter 9, it says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Verse 36, notice how it describes Jesus. "But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." You know, the first step to being a peacemaker is you have to care about those people that don't have peace. You and I, if we are going to be indeed a child of God, and if we're going to exhibit the qualities of our God, the God of peace, then we need to care for those people who haven't made peace with God through Jesus Christ. Listen to this illustration and ask yourself the question, do you care for those people who don't know Jesus? Do you care for those people who don't have the same peace that you have if you have trusted Jesus Christ this morning? Do you care for those people who are without Christ? The author says, "Between the hours of 10 and 12, for many nights, a poor woman could be seen making her way through the streets of London. A year had passed since her only daughter had left home. She had left home and entered into a great city. There she became acquainted with worldly companions, and she was now living a life of open sin. The mother learned that her daughter might be seen every night in a certain part of the town. And after many nights of watching, she was about to despair for not finding her, when she finally saw a figure closely resembling that of her daughter. She eagerly approached and was about to stretch out her arms to embrace the figure when the light of a lamp showed that it was not her child. In agony of grief, she exclaimed, 'Ah, it is not she. I was looking for my daughter, but no, you are not my child.' To which the girl that she had mistaken as her daughter burst into tears, saying, 'I have no mother. I wish I had. I wish I had someone who was looking for me. I wish someone would look for me.'" You know, I wonder how many lost souls are out there who haven't experienced the peace of God that we just pass by on a day-to-day basis, and we don't really care, and we don't really have that compassion that person hasn't experienced the same kind of love and peace that we have experienced through the cross of Christ. How can we go by and not share with them what Jesus Christ has done and how they can have peace with God? You know, the first step to being a peacemaker is to care. Do you care? Do you care about those that you go by on a day-to-day basis who haven't received the gift of salvation, that don't have that peace with God? Do you care for their souls? Can it be said of you, even like it was Jesus Christ, that you look upon these people with compassion? You know, the first step is to care about those people who haven't received the peace of God. Those who haven't experienced that peace through the finished work of Christ on the cross, oh, how they desperately need someone who will care for their soul. Someone who will go and look for them. You know, my friend, this morning God has given to us, those who have accepted His gift of salvation, He has given to us, even as it speaks of in the Epistle to the Corinthians, the ministry of reconciliation. We need to care about those who have not been reconciled to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only is it a call to care, do you care for those who are lost and at enmity with God? Do you care for them? It's not just a call to care, but I want you to think about this morning. It is also a call to go. It is also a call to go. You know, much money is spent by the nations of this world to send peace ambassadors right to the heart of wherever a conflict may be brewing, so that they can face-to-face meet with those parties involved in the hostilities and somehow come to a peaceful resolution. You see, these countries that send these peace ambassadors, they understand that peace cannot take place until someone goes. And in the same way, if we are called to be peacemakers as the children of God, then it's not only a call to care for these people, but it's also a call to go. Peacemaking involves going. Listen to this quote. "The gospel is not something only to go to church to hear, but to go from church to tell." Now let me say that again so that you can get that quote. The gospel is not something only to go to church to hear, but to go from church to tell. If we are to be peacemakers, it means that we have to go to the heart of the conflict. We have to go to those people who don't know Jesus Christ, and we have to tell them about the peace that they can have. We have to tell them about the gift of salvation that Jesus Christ has provided on the cross. What a tragedy it is that we as believers have been given this wonderful peace that we can take to anyone. The Bible tells us whosoever will, right, may receive this gift. What a tragedy that we have this peace that we can take, and yet we won't take to these people the message of peace. There's a story recounted that took place in the Isle of Man. The author recounts that one day he was walking on the seashore and he saw an old gray ruined tower that was covered with ivy. As he inquired about the tower, he found out that it had a remarkable history connected with it. So the story goes, in that tower, a man was formerly hanged who was, according to accounts, one of the best governors that the Isle of Man ever had. The man had been accused of treachery to the king during the time of civil war on the island and had received a sentence of death. Intercession was made on behalf of the man who was sentenced to hang, and a pardon was sent. But that pardon fell into enemy hands who kept it locked up, and consequently that governor, even though there was a pardon that was sent, he was hanged in that tower because the pardon never reached its destination. The author says that the man's name is still honored there on the island, and even songs are sung to recount the story. But he says, what a tragedy it is that this man, having the pardon, was hanged because that pardon failed to reach its destination. But then he points out, but let us restrain our indignation till we ask ourselves whether God might not point His finger to most of us and say, Thou art the man. Thou hast a pardon in thy hands to save thy fellow creatures, not from temporal, but from eternal death. Thou hast a pardon suited to all, sent to all, designed for all. Thou hast enjoyed it thyself, but hast thou not kept it back from thy brother instead of sending it to the ends of the earth? You know, being a peacemaker involves not only caring for people, but caring enough to go. Do you care about those people that you sit next to on the maxi as you travel back and forth to wherever it is? Or what about your neighbor? Or what about the people that you meet with in the savannah to play or to do whatever it may be? Or what about that person who sits next to you in school? Or do you really care for them? And then if you care, do you care enough to be the one that will go and share with them how they can have peace with God? Jesus said that the peacemakers would be called the sons of God. This morning, are you going and sharing that message of peace with a lost and dying world? It's a call to care. Can it be said of you, just like Jesus, that you look upon these people with compassion? And then it's a call to go. Are you going? Are you delivering that message? Then lastly this morning, I want you to consider this. It is a call to speak. It is a call to speak. As I was preparing for this sermon, I looked up how many times the word peace is used in the Word of God. And you know, as I was looking at how the word peace was used, I was amazed at how many times the Bible talks about people holding their peace. And you may have heard that phrase used before. In other words, people did not speak. They held their peace. And as I was considering that phrase, it occurred to me just how inseparable peace is from our speech. It's an important thing that the peace process be spoken. And that's why countries that are desiring to create peace or broker peace between two nations, not only will they send somebody to the exact spot of where the conflict is taking place, but many times they send the most eloquent speakers. They send those who are able to debate, those who are able to make a case. And you know, being a peacemaker, it involves us opening our mouth and speaking the words of peace to those who are lost and without the peace of God. I've used this illustration before, but I believe it's powerful in explaining to us how important it is that we not just sit idly by and watch people go to hell, but that we open our mouth and tell people about the one that can save them. The author recounts the testimony of a famous believer. He says, "You can never tell what God may do with a gospel witness. Many years ago in St. Louis, a Christian man was completing some business with a lawyer. And before leaving the office, the Christian turned to the lawyer and he said this. He said, 'Sir, I've often wanted to ask you a question, but I've been a coward.' The lawyer was surprised. 'I didn't think you were afraid of anything,' he said. 'What is the question?' The client replied, 'Why aren't you a Christian?' The lawyer hung his head. 'You know my weakness,' he said. 'Isn't there something in the Bible about drunkards having no part in the kingdom of God?' But not to be dissuaded, the believer said to him, 'That's not what I'm asking you. I want to know why you aren't a Christian.' 'Well,' said the lawyer, 'I can't recall that anybody has ever asked me to become a Christian. And I'm sure that nobody has ever told me how to become a Christian.' Before long, those two men were praying together there in that office. And God moved in that lawyer's life. He was saved. He gave up that drinking that had enslaved him. And became a wonderful testimony for the cause of Christ. That man that did that is the same man that put the notes together for the study Bible that I hold in my hand. Scofield. You may have heard of a Scofield reference Bible. That man was saved because somebody in his office was not afraid to ask him, "Are you a Christian?" That person wasn't afraid to speak up and bring the peace of God to Scofield. You know, being a peacemaker, it involves speaking. It involves us not being afraid to open our mouth and allow God to use us to speak the message of peace to those who need it so desperately. And this morning, can it be said of you that you are a peacemaker? Do you share God's peace with a lost and dying world? You know, the Bible reveals to us that it's part of the armor that we as believers should put on. Our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We need to be diligent about sharing God's message of peace with a lost and dying world. And you know, if you've been saved for any length of time, undoubtedly you've experienced times when you get excited about wanting to share God's message of salvation. But then if you're not careful, that flame can just kind of die off. And this morning, I hope that as we look at this passage, I hope that perhaps God will use this to reignite that flame. Maybe as I've been speaking this morning, maybe God has brought to your mind somebody who you see all the time, and maybe the Holy Spirit has even stirred your heart at times. Hey, why don't you talk with them about the gospel? Do you know if they're really saved? Why don't you talk to them about my salvation? And maybe God has brought to your mind some people like that that you should share the gospel with. I hope this morning that you'll make up your mind that you're going to show the proper care for that person's soul, and that you will go to that person, and that you will speak up and share with them the words that can set them free. I was sharing with you that article from Henry Morris earlier. I want you to listen to what he said. You know, many would look at this passage when it speaks of blessed are the peacemakers, and they would interpret that as simply a person who resolves conflicts between people on earth. And I want you to understand, certainly, a believer ought to be the kind of person who diffuses contentious situations, right? We ought to be the kind of person who helps out in these kind of situations. We shouldn't be the person who is throwing gasoline on a fire. But first and foremost, nobody can have peace without the Prince of Peace. And the greatest peace that we have to offer a lost and dying world is that peace that they can have with Jesus Christ. Henry Moore says this, "As ambassadors for Christ, we are true ambassadors for peace. The best possible contribution we can make toward world peace, toward racial peace, industrial peace, family peace, or personal peace is to help people become reconciled to God through faith in the peacemaking work of Christ on the cross." Jesus Himself said in John 16:33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in Me ye might have peace." We have a message of peace. The question is, are we going to care for a world that is at war with God? Are we going to go and broker that peace between them? And will we indeed open our mouth and speak the words that can set them free and bring peace to their life? One last illustration I want to give you this morning. You know, people are searching for peace. You'll never find peace in this world, though, apart from Jesus Christ. This is a true story. A retired couple was alarmed by the threat of nuclear war, and I suspect, even though I don't have a date on the illustration, maybe this took place back in the 60s, a retired couple was alarmed by the threat of nuclear war, so they undertook a serious study of all the inhabited places on the globe. Their goal was to determine where in the world would be the place to be least likely affected by a nuclear war. So, taking all things into account at that time, what countries had nuclear weapons, what the relations were with other countries, they were finding the one place on the globe where they would be safe from any kind of nuclear fallout or nuclear attack. a place of ultimate security. They studied and traveled and traveled and studied. And finally they found their place. And on Christmas, they sent their pastor a card from their new home in the Falkland Islands. However, their paradise was soon turned into a war zone in the war that ensued between Great Britain and Argentina. Spent all this time and all this money to find this place of peace. And no sooner had they moved there and war breaks out on the island. You know, the only way that we will ever find peace is through the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. And my friend, that is the message that we've been given, and that is the message that we are in charge of taking to a lost and dying world. Are you a peacemaker this morning? Do you have that peace, first of all? And then, are you sharing that peace with those around you? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God.